Thank you. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you you're here. And we just honor your presence. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the one who reveals Abba Father and makes the fatherhood of God real to us and makes his love real to us. You shed the love of Abba Father in our hearts. And we just receive that love. We bask in it. We let it penetrate into every area of our souls, our hearts, and our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, I just want to say you're powerful. You're powerful to think. You're powerful to disagree with me. And you're just powerful people. And I bless you in that. So we've done this is the third week in a series on worship. And a call to worship. We began this series with Psalm 102, verses 18 to 20. This being a prophetic word about recreated ones who would declare the praises of God until the last enemy, death itself, would come under our feet, as it is already under the feet of Jesus. We talked about our identity as the righteousness of God in Christ and our identity as worshipers. In the second session, we talked about encountering and receiving God's love, as we cannot give away what we have not received. And we talked about increasing in our capacity to receive his love as individuals, but also as a corporate body, encountering, experiencing his love until we're filled and flooded with God himself. Before we get into talking more about worship, I want to just take a quick look at spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 to 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. This scripture indicates that we are a triune being. We are spirit, made in the image of God. We have a soul, and we live in a body. And all three are interconnected. It's important to note that we do not just have spirits. We are created as eternal spirits. The core of every human being is our spirit nature. This is who we really are. So what we see in front of us right here, it's not who we really are. Humans were given a spiritual nature to commune with God unlike any other creature. Only humanity was given the ability to move into the realm of the spirit. And this was meant to be as easy as breathing. Our spirit actually has a limitless capacity to grow and is actually meant to be the largest part of our being. And our spirit is supposed to sit in the seat of government as king over our soul and our body. Our soul, mind, will, and emotions. And just a quick side, our spirits actually have a mind, will, and emotions as well. But our soul has mind, will, and emotions, and they are wonderful. They are highly valuable. We have brilliant minds. They make a wonderful servant, but a poor master. Our souls are to be in submission to our spirit which is in life union with Holy Spirit. Our bodies, too, are amazing. I said 2 weeks ago that God loves our bodies, and He wants our bodies. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. They too make wonderful servants or slaves, but poor masters. We can actually speak to our spirits, to our souls, and to our bodies. I like to say something like, I bless you, Spirit, and I call you forth to sit in the seat of government as king over my soul and my body. Soul, mind, you are valuable. I value you. You make a wonderful servant, but a poor master. Come into submission to my spirit in life union with Holy Spirit. Body, I love you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I value you. You are an amazing temple of the Holy Spirit. Come into kingdom alignment, healed, whole, and in submission to my spirit, in life union with Holy Spirit. Now, it's not hard for our spirits to worship. They are ready all the time. Our spirits, together with Holy Spirit, want to draw our souls and our bodies into worship and to engage with the presence of God. Being a worshiper, I believe, begins with having a heart overflowing with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. When we think of all that Jesus has done to connect us back into relationship with Abba Father and to join us in life union with Holy Spirit, he's given us the gift of Holy Spirit and much more. Ephesians 1 in the Passion Translation says that everything heaven contains has been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. Now, how do we receive what he's done? First of all, I'm sure you'd all say, well, by faith. But what do we normally do when we receive something from someone? What's the appropriate response for a gift given?
Thank you.
Many scriptures emphasize the importance of a grateful heart. Why? Thankfulness acknowledges what he has done. Thankfulness is an expression that you're receiving what he's done. Thanksgiving is an expression of faith. I propose to you that thanksgiving and gratitude are the expressions of a believing heart. It's a first response to his goodness, his kindness, and his extravagant love. Giving thanks expresses faith and belief that you have received something. Could it be that unthankfulness would be an indication of an unbelieving heart or a hardened heart, the kind that Hebrews 3 and 4 talks about? Hebrews 3, verse 16 talks about how the children of Israel provoked God after he delivered them out of Egypt, out of bondage. Now, we have been, that's a picture of us, we've been delivered out of the bondage of sin. So what was it that provoked God? The negativity, the grumbling and the complaining throughout their journey, and we're on a journey, which came to a head just when they were about to enter the promised land. You might say their negativity, their ingratitude, revealed unbelief. And it kept them, except for two people, from entering in. As I said last time, as recreated ones, we can still have old messages in our bodies and in our minds. Messages that don't line up with the truth and that can drag us down into negativity and unthankfulness. And I think the atmosphere of the world in general, there's also a tendency to be pulled into negativity. And also, unthankfulness is really an issue of the heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Good news, though. So is thankfulness just gritting your teeth and determining to try harder to be positive? No. Though the world and old messages and negative circumstances can pull us into negativity, our life union with Holy Spirit pulls us into thanksgiving. Holy Spirit has very strong cravings inside of you. You have cravings, but His cravings are stronger than yours. We have the influence of the Holy Spirit on our hearts to, first of all, bring ever-increasing revelation of who Jesus is, the beauty of Jesus, what He's done for us, who we are in Christ, and then to help us to respond with thankfulness. The influence of the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit and tenderizes our hearts. So it is truly the Holy Spirit who is the one who influences our hearts towards being thankful and grateful. And we can ask Him for help. After all, He is the helper. And there's so much grace in the process of growing in thankfulness. We're just going to look at a few more scriptures on thanksgiving. Psalm 26, verse 7 says, "That I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works." We see that thanksgiving needs a voice. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, "Offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Ephesians 5, 4 says, "And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, but rather giving of thanks." Ephesians 5, 17 to 21, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father." I believe from this scripture that the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a heart filled with song and thankfulness. I just want to make a comment on the phrase "for all things," where it says giving thanks for all things. In the Greek text, another possible translation for that is "for all people." And in the Aramaic, it actually means "for all people." Or it could also be stated this way: "for all people God brings into your life." My thoughts on this are that it is not necessarily God who brings every negative circumstance into your life. So I don't necessarily want to attribute those all negative circumstances to him by giving him thanks for them. But I will give thanks to him in the midst. Does that make sense? First Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you're ever wondering what's God's will for your life, here it is. Hebrews 13, verse 16. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Now, you might think, well, we don't need to give sacrifices anymore. And that's true. Blood sacrifices of the Old Testament are done. But there's the replacement of the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. I want to read this verse in the Passion Translation. So we no longer offer up a steady stream of blood sacrifices, but through Jesus, we will offer up to God a steady stream of praise sacrifices. These are the lambs we offer from our lips that celebrate his name. So instead of the actual physical lambs that were sacrificed in the old covenant, we now sacrifice from our lips with thanksgiving and praise for all that he's done for us. Carolyn Leaf says we have the capacity to carry on a continuous conversation with Holy Spirit while we're doing anything and everything else in our lives. He's one with our spirit. The key is to believe and express that belief with thanksgiving. Holy Spirit, I know you're one with my spirit. Thank you, you're in me. Thank you, you're one with me forever in life union. Thank you, you're with me right now in this cubicle as I'm working on this project. Thank you, you're walking into this business meeting with me right now. Thank you, you're pumping gas with me at the gas station right now. Thank you, you're making supper with me. Thank you, you're helping me with my children right now. Thank you, you're releasing life into my body right now. Thank you, you're engaging with my spirit while I sleep all night long and releasing life inside of me. Thank you for every time I've sensed your presence. Thank you for every answered prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're my helper in everything. This is developing God consciousness. As we become more God conscious, we become less self-conscious. This is practicing his presence. As this becomes a habit, the awareness of his presence increases. That's the power of thanksgiving. I just want to talk about two Hebrew words for praise. In the Old Testament, particularly in the Psalms, a lot of the words for praise have a different meaning. And we're just going to talk about two of them today. Tada means an extension of the hands in adoration like this. An acceptance as if you're accepting a gift. Yada means to throw out the hands, to worship with extended hands, in thanksgiving, and in Hebrew thinking, it also meant or implied being dependent on who they were lifting up their hands to and offering all of their lives to that one. That ties in with Romans 6, verse 13. Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Or as the Passion says, Keep yielding your body to him as one who's now experienced resurrection life. Romans 12:1 in the Amplified reads, I appeal to you, therefore, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. The Passion ends that verse this way, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Our bodies and all of our physical senses are meant to be God-conscious and sensitive to the spirit realm, tuned in to the presence of God in all of life. So worship is not just something that happens when the music starts on Sunday morning. Worship so transcends music and all the different expressions. Worship is not primarily something we do, but is an expression of a life surrendered to God and a body that's given to God as holy unto God in everything I do. If I work at Country Snacks, I do it as unto God. Not only am I serving, but it is a sacrifice to God. It is worship, and he hears it as music. If you work as a carpenter, your instrument becomes your hammer. Worship is a mother interacting with her children, doing all the millions of things that need to be done. If you can think of pumping gas and the noise of babies and mothers comforting them as music, what if you could make that into an album? And as you're doing these natural, normal, mundane activities every day, day in and day out, you're doing it with thankfulness and engaging with the presence of God. Worship is a lifestyle. Along with the lifestyle of worship is a lifestyle of giving expression to our worship. I am in no way negating expressions of worship as individuals and corporately. This expression of worship in music and creativity is my passion. In fact, our expressions of worship are a vital part of our lifestyle of worship. Because we are worshipers, remember, being before doing, we will express worship with our spirit, our soul, and our bodies. Now, there's something significant about when we enter in with expressions of thanksgiving, praise, and worship that don't feel emotionally good. What some would call hypocritical and not being real, God calls a sacrifice. When you come into this place and you lift your hands and you don't feel like it, you're actually being the most real when you enter in, because that's who you are, a worshiper. As we read earlier, we are to offer a steady stream of thanksgiving and praise. A sacrifice of praise costs me something. Could it be my reputation? For example, King David, when he danced undignified with all his might, his wife scoffed at him. Or Mary, with the alabaster box of perfume, most of the people in that room scoffed at her. Paul says to Timothy, lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Chris Vallotton gives an interesting interpretation. He says, without wrath means don't get mad about it. Without doubting Don't wonder what this does. When you don't feel like something, when you wonder, well, what good is this anyways? So when we're not into it, what needs to change? A heart. What doesn't need to change is don't put your hands down. Now, I'm not saying we come in here and stand with our hands up the whole time. Please hear me on that. What doesn't need to change is that you decide not to enter in. Because God likes that. He says, don't get mad about it. Do I need to feel like it? No. It's a sacrifice. There's something about getting our bodies involved that releases our spirits and can actually shift our emotions. What happens when we begin to sing with strength, when we begin to dance with all our might, even if we don't feel like it? When we express thanksgiving with lifting up of our hands, our emotions tend to shift, and suddenly we're into it. We can give thanks and praise when we're inspired, and that's good. But there's something that happens when we give God thanks, praise, and worship when we're not inspired at all. Think about this. What do you do when you're inspired or when you're really into it? Maybe some of you don't do anything, I don't know. But maybe think about this. What do you do to your with your spouse when you're inspired? Do what you do when you're not inspired. Do what you do when you are inspired. Do what you do when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. Well, what about when it really, really hurts and we're going through some really rough stuff and we just heard from Ian and Nikki? What about being real? We've lost two people in this body in the past year. There's pain. Pain feels really real. All of us have gone through pain of some kind. So what do we do in the midst of pain? Certainly, it's appropriate to mourn loss. We grieve with those who grieve. I want to share a bit of Bill Johnson's perspective on this. He talks about the pain of when he lost his father. There were many, many people being healed of the same disease that took his father's life. They were praying and believing for healing, and it didn't happen. He talks about coming to God and being real and honest with him, but without actually blaming him. Saying something like, Abba Father, it feels like you didn't come through with your promises. Jesus, it feels like your word didn't work for me. And it really hurts right now. This is painful. But the truth is, you are faithful to your promises all the time. You never lie. Your word is true. All your promises are yes and amen, and they are for me and for my loved ones. You are always good, and it's not some kind of weird goodness. I praise you for your goodness in the midst of pain and loss. You were scourged at the whipping post for my healing. I worship you as Jehovah Rophe, the Lord who heals. You are healer all the time. I worship you. I worship you, and I declare your faithfulness, your goodness, and your kindness. Being honest before God is good. We are to offload onto God our challenges and frustrations and sorrows and burdens, but then to come to a place of hope. Oh, my soul, hope in God. Our default position, actually, emotionally, this is proven scientifically, our default position is actually joy. So when we're in that place of sorrow and loss, it's meant only for a season. We are meant to return to joy. Psalm 30, verse 11 is, "You turn my mourning into dancing and my sorrow into joy." Bill Johnson also shared a picture that God gave him that in regards to his dad, it was like they had been pushing a 5,000-pound rock in prayer and it would not budge. But when they had exercised their faith to such a degree that when they pushed against a 500-pound rock, it moved with ease. Another thing that he shared is, when we experience pain and loss, we don't change the subject. In other words, we don't change our beliefs to line up with our circumstances. Does that make sense? So in the midst of pain, honesty is a good thing, but we want to keep that steady stream of thanksgiving and praise on our lips. The call to worship is a call to a lifestyle. Can I have the worship team come back up, please? Living and expressing who we are as worshipers. This morning, I believe that Holy Spirit gave me a prophetic act that I want to encourage us to do together, if you would be willing. I had this picture of people actually physically bringing to church, and I did change my mind on that, but physically bringing something that represented their life, maybe different areas of their life, and bringing it to church and offering it to God. We read the scriptures about presenting our bodies to Him as living sacrifices. So I want to invite you to stand, if you would, and if there can be a room in front of the chair in front of you to take a step, we're going to take a step as well. And we're going to offer our bodies, the members of our bodies, to God as instruments of righteousness and instruments of worship. And then I'm also going to invite you to imagine that you place in your hands things that represent your life, your job in the workplace, your home life, ministry life. There's really no separation. We know that, but I'm just for the sake of just going to make a difference there. Just every part of your life. If you would imagine placing that in your hands and holding it out to the Lord and saying, "Here I am. Here's my life. A lifestyle of worship." All right. You can just start playing if you would. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So I just invite you to take a step forward as if we're stepping in to the throne room. scriptures say that we have free and bold access to come before the throne. And so this morning, Abba, Father, we're coming before you. And we're offering our physical bodies to you and all our members as instruments of righteousness, as instruments of worship. We're offering our minds, our souls, our wills, our emotions. We're offering our lips. We're offering our hearts to bring you praise and thanksgiving and worship. And that everything that we do, we offer to you as worship. Yeah. We give you thanks this morning, Jesus.
Press my face against the earth till my heart it rises over my head. As the wheat it bows down low when the autumn wind blows, I kneel before the one I love. Find me grateful. Find me thankful, find me on my knees. Find me dreaming and find me singing. Find me lost in your grace. Like the dust that you first held in a garden where you knelt, pull me up against your face again. Till the breath of your hope fill the depths of my soul. Till all that I know I've been found by love. And find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees. Find me dreaming and find me singing, find me lost in your grace. Held in a garden where you knelt, pull up against your face again. Till the breath of your hope fill the depths of my soul. Till all I know is I've been found by love. Oh, find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees, yes, and find me dreaming, find me singing, find me lost in your grace, find me grateful, find me grateful. me singing. Find me lost in your grace.
Holy Spirit, we just welcome the influence, your influence on our hearts. We welcome you to fill us to overflowing. We welcome you to release, to put a new song in our hearts, that we would have a song and a melody in our hearts, that our hearts would overflow with thanksgiving. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to do that in our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Man, just this past weekend, I've been with Claire down in Rock Lake. That's why I came in a bit late this morning. I just got back from there this morning. But Claire said that the first thing that happened at the fall of man was that man became self-conscious. And he lost the consciousness of God. And he became conscious of himself. He became conscious of the fact that he was naked. And he was ashamed. And he was afraid because of his self-consciousness. And that's why sometimes we don't step out into what God has called us to do, because of self-consciousness. We're afraid what will happen. But as we become God-conscious, we become as bold as a lion. We'll step out. We'll speak forth the word of God to people that need to hear the words of God. We don't keep it inside of us. And that's why praise and worship is so vital. Amen. That we come into God consciousness in spirit, soul, and body. Become God inside conscious. That I see everything, every problem in the light of who God is. I don't see God in the light of my problem, but I see my problem in the light of God, and he's inside of you today. So he says, enter in to his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his holy name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Jesus, we're so grateful for all that you've done for us. Thank you that you rescued us out of the realm of darkness and translated us into the kingdom realm of your beloved Son. Thank you. You've given us the spirit of full acceptance, and you've called us, you've adopted us as your delightful children. And you love us with the same love that you love Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are altogether beautiful. You are altogether lovely. You are altogether amazing. You are altogether glorious. There's no one like you. There's no one like you in all the earth, in all the universe, anywhere. And we just give you the honor that's due your name. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. I just want to encourage you to speak out thanksgiving to the Lord about things specifically in your life. And I encourage you to voice your thanksgiving, that you give thanksgiving a voice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my loved ones. Thank you for how good you are. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this family. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you. Thank you. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Surya na 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 na. Oh, ria na 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 na. Eria na 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 na. Oh, ria na na se. Oh, ria na 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 se. Oh. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Just want to release you if you feel that you need to go. Yeah, just feel free. You're free to go. You're free also to stay. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you to remind us throughout the week. Remind us. Influence our hearts towards thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, for a fresh wind. A fresh wind of your Spirit. We welcome that freshness of your Spirit. I think there's a prayer team. Is there a prayer team that will be available if anybody wants prayer? So we welcome you. Have a great week. Bless your week.